Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. Mark Lawrence here, Joe McGranahan, my fabulous co-host, my super-duper producers, Rob Center, Matt Cotrillers, our news director.
It's all about you, isn't it? My this, my that. Well, you just have a really ego problem this morning.
Well, I'm the program director, so I surround myself with good people and I stay out of their way. Except
well,
for
you're
you.
In my way all the time.
I impede you.
You are an impediment of the first degree.
You are the only person whose progress I impede around here. Everybody else enjoys no impedance from me.
I see. Well, I need to find out from them how to achieve such non-impedance.
It's too late.
Is it okay? That's your mission in life is to
everything you've ever done stands in the way of progress for you and I.
Okay.
All right, well, welcome on board. Thanks for coming in, Joe. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, a bad co-host, or Mr.
Nah, you're pretty good.
Joe McGranahan is across from me. And we are talking today with open phones, but we're going to have a scheduled call-in guest at 8:35. He is U.S. congressional candidate Fred Keller on the line. He'll be calling in. And that will be followed by Billy Allred's checking in. He's one of the Republicans around here who was a conferee during the process of selecting Fred Keller at that event. So the conference committee that was held over the weekend. So that's going to be coming up shortly. So let's do our intros. We hope to get Fred on the line. Now, Fred said by now he'd be in Harrisburg going to and fro. So we'll catch him right before fro, hopefully, at 8:35.
Well, maybe we'll catch him at 2.
Well, either way. Yeah, right in the middle of 2, he called us. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is wide open. That number is 1-800-795-9565. The hometown pharmacy's toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. The hometown pharmacies offer personalized service on a first-name basis, and they're right in your local area. Terry out at the Shade Mountain Pharmacy will tell you they're located on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills. Tyler at Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg will tell you they would just love to super serve you. They're walking distance from everything. Steve's at the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in North Hamilton. No matter what, you have motoring and walking access to there. You'll hear about detours continuing in North Hamilton in the weeks or months ahead. But the Norrie Pharmacy is always accessible. Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop invites you to visit them at the Market Street Shopping Plaza in Bloomsburg. They're in the 200 block of Market Street, and they would just love for you to go visit that part of Market Street in Bloomsburg. And Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy says come visit us on 2nd Street, make some other stops in the other businesses. You have the shoe store, Champion Shoes right around the corner, Fisher's Meats right there, Kohl's Hardware. You're right in the middle of the real doer and leader of a retailing area in Lewisburg, and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy would love for you to visit them. So that's where they are. But what they do is super service. That's the bottom line. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're going to talk about the U.S. Congressional Conference process that took place today.
Took place on Saturday.
Or Saturday, right. Yeah, thank you. Mike's on the line. Mike, thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Hey, you're welcome, Mark and Joe. Hey, I hate to start a phone call off with an admission like this, but many of my friends call me a conspiracy theorist, okay? And it upsets me when they do that, but what the heck. Anyway, I want to talk just briefly about all the candidates that have announced that they're going to run for the Democratic nomination for president. And I think that most of them are doing it for two reasons. One is to get out there and have their name known in their particular state, and then make the base of the Democrats excited for their particular candidate to get them ready for the real election when they're down to one nominee. And I think there may even be a little bit of collusion to get these people in these important states to run, you know, with the promise of, hey, when we take over the White House in 2020, you're going to have a job in Washington. Because a lot of these people, they're not currently holding any political office or anything like that. So I think they would like to have an important job, you know, in Washington. And I think they're doing it to help the party get organized for 2020. I don't really think they have any intention of winning at all. It's just that they want to further the cause of the, you know, the Socialist Democrats.
Which one of them doesn't have any office at all? I thought all of them had a current office.
Well, not the candidates, but their supporters.
Oh, their supporters? Okay, I thought he was talking about the candidates.
Yeah, well, the Hickenlooper, what position does he hold?
He's a governor. Announced today. He's a governor.
I thought he was the former governor.
What is it, Bert Hickenlooper?
I don't know.
Hickenlooper.
I know CBS.
I thought he was the current governor. I could be wrong, you know.
Yeah, well, former Colorado governor.
It was my impression that he, you know, from the past, that he was the current governor and is no longer the governor. But I could be wrong.
No, apparently
you're
right.
That's why they call me a conspiracy theorist.
No, apparently you're right. Mark just looked it up, and he's the prior governor of Colorado.
Yep. Now, Mark, I appreciate you looking that up and coming to my rescue, and I just wanted to throw that out there and get the conversation started this morning.
Well, and I don't think it's a terrible theory. You know, you have a lot of things at play here, and as we learned with the whole gerrymandering process in Pennsylvania that was orchestrated by people outside Pennsylvania years ago, you know, 10 years ago or so, that they devised the scheme and pulled it off and got all the districts to vote in a certain way, and then next thing the whole state is far disproportionately Republican than it should have been. So you have that going on. So whoever devised that theory and came up with it and said let's try this could easily say, all right, well, look, let's take the White House, you help us, we got to get these states on board. It'll only happen if and only if we have these states on board. So run for president, Mr. Hickenlooper, and you got a lot of followers, and make sure they stay in lockstep with you when you're not the nominee, but you endorse, you know, X nominee who it is.
Well, forgive me, but I don't see the benefit in having 20 or 30 candidates running for office. You know, it creates so many winners it creates more losers than winners. And it sometimes can engender bad feelings. I think at least part of Hillary's defeat the last time out was that people realized she stole it from Bernie, you know, and he didn't exactly bend over backwards to get her elected either. You know,
I agree 100% with you on that. But let's use Colorado as an example. If he gets if their machine gets all their people registered to vote, and at the end of the day, Mr. Hickenlooper comes out and says, let's say it's Kamala, I totally endorse Kamala Harris, and I want every one of you that supported me to get behind her because she's in line with what I believe and with what you believe. I mean, I really think it's a ploy here have all these people that have no chance running.
That only works if everybody does that. If the next guy says, I think Bernie Sanders is the best candidate, I'm going to endorse him. And
well,
next one says, I vote for Cory Booker.
Yeah, but by fall of 2020, it's just going to be one individual.
Right, but along the way, there are a lot of people who are going to have spent some money, got nothing out of it, maybe had some of their supporters disenchanted with the way things went. You know, let's face it, it's going to be ugly, just as the Republican primary 2 years ago was ugly, or 3 years ago now, I guess it was.
Well, I like Mike's theory, and particularly I think it works because of what we saw that did happen with Hillary, is a lot of people just expected her to get elected, and so they didn't get super mobilized.
No, that's a point.
And so
they thought it was in the bag.
Yeah.
Another thing, when you raise money for a run, and then you don't finish it or whatever, what happens to all the money that's left over that wasn't spent, if there is any?
Well, it has to go to comparable candidates, people who are in your same political party, but the campaign committee can choose who they want to support, so they could give it all to the presidential candidate.
I think it's really, really going to be interesting. And in the same vein, if I can just switch topics real quick, what we're seeing right now with Governor Wolf, he wants the severance tax. He wants to tax the gas coming out of the ground. And he's going around to all these communities and saying, hey, if we get this severance tax, we're going to be able to rebuild the dikes in Williamsport, or we're going to rebuild the community up here in Berwick, the housing, we're going to tear it down and build up new ones. So he's running around the state telling everybody that this severance tax is going to be the cure-all to every problem.
Yeah, he's got it spent about four times over, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Hey, well, listen, I got to go pick up my wife. I really appreciate you guys' show. I enjoy it very much, and you have great callers. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, yourself included. Call us back and finish that thought. Yeah, if you follow the governor and all of his, the DCNR and DEP and the governor himself are all out to saying what, you know, what each town has about $500 million worth of spending promised to it. So it's going to be 20 times more than the amount of money that's going to come out of this.
Well, I think the governor's more than willing to propose higher and higher taxes until he gets that amount of money.
This is just the gas tax, but that's another topic. So, all right, so now we got a couple of things on the table. We had hoped to hear from, but we were warned by State House Member Fred Keller that his schedule in Harrisburg was already locked in at 8:30, but he thought he could have free time at 8:35. So, and that didn't come to pass because we don't see him on the line here. So when he does get time, he'll call us this morning. Fred Keller, is the nominee in the U.S. Congressional Conference that was held over the weekend in Williamsport. And it was a process that involved, I think, four rounds?
Four ballots, yes.
Four ballots. Yeah, it has to be, I always call it the ecumenical ballot.
And the surprise withdrawal of the candidate who was in the lead, presumably.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard the blow-by-blow of it. So we do have another individual promising to call us, Billy Allred, and he was one of the Republican conferees that was scheduled to be part of that. So we'll hear from him. Let's take a quick break to stay on schedule. We'll be right back. We thank everybody for listening to WKOK's On the Mark program.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KFK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We do have Mr. Fred Keller on the line. Fred, thank you so much for checking in. We very much appreciate you calling in this morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing this morning?
Good, 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 good. We're doing
and
great.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that.
Well, what's your reaction to the nomination and this process that took place and your reaction to the outcome Saturday?
Well, if I could first start. And you know, going through the process to get the nomination and talking to the people across all 15 counties of the 12th Congressional District reaffirmed what I already knew about the people of northeastern and north central Pennsylvania, and that is that they are outstanding, hardworking, intelligent people. And no matter what the outcome would have been, they were very thorough, diligent. And it's just been a great experience, you know. And I'm very, very humbled that the conferees on Saturday's meeting have the confidence in me to be the nominee for this May 21st special election.
Well, Fred, you and I both know that Snyder County and Union County have bounced around back and forth between congressional districts over the years, and there's a new census coming up next year. Are you at all concerned that the district may change after you are there a very short period of time? Assuming you get reelected, and I'm pretty sure you will.
Well, the first thing is, you're right, Joe, I don't put the cart in front of the horse. We're going to work very diligently, very, very hard at making sure we get our positive message out about the values that I share with the people of the 12th Congressional District. A lot of times people think things aren't possible. I don't worry about things in the future, not that you don't plan for them. Anything could change, but you know, if we do a really good job and work very hard, you know, what happens then can happen. But I think we can keep the 12th together.
It would be great if you could.
At least I'll be, I'll be optimistic on that.
Well, what is the next step in this process now? You have a rather limited amount of time to start campaigning, and you couldn't really make plans until Saturday, till you knew you had the nomination. So where does Fred Keller go from here?
Well, the first thing that I think you need to realize is, one, we've always had a positive message and campaigned positively. And having done that, we put together a team because even before you start, once you say you're running for Congress, you know, there's things that you have to do. And I believe in looking at the homework, doing the homework and looking at what you need to do. We already had filed with the FEC, and we already had put together a treasurer and a campaign committee should we get the nomination, because we realized it was a truncated time frame here to run a campaign. So we already did have some of those things in place. And, we're just continuing to work now. And one thing is just getting the team together and moving forward through May 21st.
All right. Well, what are the big issues you're going to be talking about, given an opportunity to talk about national issues? Isn't something we typically have done with you in the past. But what are the big national issues that got to be addressed?
Well, I think that, of course, always. And, Mark, I always look at fiscal issues, budget issues, the economy, because if we don't have a strong economy and our finances aren't in order, we're not going to be able to afford to do the many things that are necessary to do across our communities, in our Commonwealth, in the 12th District, and also across our nation. So that's always a priority of mine. I always pay attention to that. But inside of that, I know the president's talked about, job training and the jobs, that are coming. Our veterans, I think, is a very important thing to make sure that they have the support. They've given so much for us. The founders of our great republic laid out a great plan for liberty and independent responsibility and so on. And our veterans have guaranteed that every generation since. So we need to make sure that, that we address any issues that are with our veterans. Energy policy, I think, is very important. When we look at the new the Green New Deal, and what people are putting out there, I think that if you look at that, $93 trillion, it would cost every Pennsylvania family $600,000. It's not realistic. We need to look at an energy policy that's good for our environment, that also though meets the needs of the demand of a 21st century economy and beyond. And that includes the energy that's right here in Pennsylvania.
Well,
helping our allies with energy and let them buy it from America rather than buying it from places like Russia and other areas that do not share the values of America, I think would probably be a big help to not only our nation but also our allies.
Well, your opponent, Mark Friedenberg, has announced that he's inviting you, not challenging you, but inviting you to a series of four debates. What's your reaction to that, and do you see debates in the future?
Well, I think that, we'll work something out on a schedule. Again, having just received the nomination, I know he threw out the challenge of debates, and I don't have a problem with discussing the issues. As we go forward, we'll see what the schedule permits and, work on that.
But you will you agree to, in general, face him for open forums?
But again, Mark, I don't have a problem facing anybody and discussing the issues. We'll take a look at our schedule, and we'll take a look at Mr. Friedenberg's schedule, and we'll see what we can get worked out.
Now the president's going to be a big issue in this campaign in all probability. The Democrats have announced today that they are going to launch an abuse of power investigation, about five or six other investigations. They're going to be subpoenaing all of his family records, his business records, his tax records. How much of a distraction is this likely to be in your campaign?
You mean as far as
the
what
president.
They're trying, what people are saying about the president?
Just the president in general, yes.
In general, I see a lot of times, people have "I resist" bumper stickers on their cars and stuff, and I'm thinking, what are you resisting? America first and jobs? I'm not going to. I have never gotten into the weeds or the dirt on individuals. Our message is a positive message, and we need to put a positive message out for the people. If you have to, and I'm not saying that anything did happen or didn't with the president. I believe the best in everybody until I'm proven wrong. But if your message isn't good enough on its own, and you have to tear someone down, there's a problem with the message. And, you know, I'm positive. I'm going to run my campaign about the issues that are important to the people of the 12th Congressional District, and I am not going to let any distractions or anything else interfere with the fact that we have a positive message, we have a positive campaign, and we have a positive outlook for the 12th Congressional District, our Commonwealth, and the United States of America. I'm not going to get into being negative or discussing issues regarding what somebody may accuse of someone else of doing. So,
well, you've got a 90% rating, lifetime rating, as a conservative, and that would probably indicate that you would be more supportive of the president than you would of AOC. No argument there, right?
I don't think it's any secret that in 2016 I had a 4x8 sign in support of the president that I painted myself on the back of my truck that said, "Make America Great Again." If the policy's right, I'm behind it. I'm going to tell you that right now. Foreign policy that puts America's interests first is good foreign policy. Trade that is free, fair, and benefits America is good trade policy. I don't know how people can argue with those things.
How about the wall?
I will say the experts have said that we need to do things not with just our wall, but with technology, with also more personnel, and we also need to look at our immigration policies. I think the former the late Jack Kemp said it very, very well. You know, when he said we must keep the back door of illegal immigration closed so that we can keep open the front door of legal immigration.
Good point.
All right, what about the idea that you're a fiscal realist? Of course, you just got on the Peacers board, and if elected, you probably won't be able to stay on that. But I'll tell you what, it was almost, you know, it was like oil and water. They just wouldn't mix your fiscal realism and the kind of debt that they carry. But what about when you get to Washington, D.C., where deficit spending is the way to go? This president enjoys that. This Congress still does tons of that. You know, we're just borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. That's not the way Fred spends money.
Well, that's not the way the citizens of our nation spend their personal dollars either, Mark.
No.
And it goes back to sharing the values of everybody. I mean, there are challenges. There are things that we need to work on. And, you know, my understanding of business, my understanding of fiscal matters, should the good people of the 12th Congressional District here in Pennsylvania send me to D.C., I will go down to do the work on behalf of them and look at fiscal matters the way they would do it and make decisions based on that.
All right. Well, we have a couple of moments left. We'll give you an open mic to address our audience. Anything additionally you want to add on these early times in the campaign? You can make a full-blown campaign stop at will, so let us know when you're ready to do that. We assume Mr. Friedenberg will probably avail himself of that opportunity as well. But we'll give you an open mic right now. Anything else to add today?
No, I just want to say again that I know the people that live in Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District are outstanding individuals. And I am humbled to be a candidate for election to Congress in that district. I look so very forward to being able to be around all 15 counties, not just running for this campaign, but after Election Day, if I'm the person sent to Washington, I will continue as their congressman to be around and available to them as I have in my state house district. Also, I would also say that even, just as an individual, I want to be in the community because we don't do anything by ourselves. We are a community, we are a team, and together we will succeed.
All right, very well. We'll keep in touch. Let us know when you're ready to come back and, again, make a campaign appearance. Keep in touch, and we'll talk again. Thank you, Fred.
And congratulations
again,
Fred.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Joe. And thank you to all the wonderful people in Central and North Central Pennsylvania.
Okay. Thank
you. Appreciate that. Thank you very much, Fred Keller. In Harrisburg, wearing the state representative hat right now, and, of course, a U.S. congressional candidate.
That's a bigger hat.
Well, plus a big regional footprint. You know, he's going to be up in Bradford County campaigning and, all over this 12th district. It's a huge district, all up on the northern tier.
Well, I think one of the big differences in this, after this election, is going to be both Mark Friedenberg and Fred Keller have been highly visible. And in the past, one of the challenges that those who supported Congressman Reno have faced is the fact that he was not quite as visible in the district as these boys both are.
Well, and some folks say, you know, this isn't a shoo-in for Fred Keller. He's got to get up there. A lot of Republicans have already heard from Mark. They may agree or disagree with him, but they got to find out what Fred's all about. They're not just going to automatically vote Republican. And he does have work to do. I would say, you know, Lawrence is worthless wisdom. It's his race to lose. But it is losable, so, you know, all factors of being equal, he gets his message out and gets that message that he said he wanted to get out to everybody. You know, he should be in a pretty good position to be ahead on the polls.
Well, this area's had Democratic congressmen before. Chris Carney, comes
well,
to
a
mind.
Good one.
Yeah. And before him, who was the fellow from Williamsport? Can't think of his name.
Oh, and he's a businessman now.
Yeah. Tim Holden was a congressman, Democrat from the area. So we've had some good Democratic congressmen.
Alan Ertle.
We've had some good Democratic and some good Republican congresspeople. And this should be an interesting race.
Well, and I think this is a lot of people are just saying, well, okay, it's over. You know, but I think they both candidates got a lot of work to do and to get their message out. And Mark Friedenberg says he's going to do that. There isn't going to be anybody in this district, he says, that...
Well, he's been around the block before. He ran the last time.
Right.
So.
He knows how to campaign and to get around and to visit and to make stops in the downtown. Yeah. All right, we'll keep talking about this. Billy Allred has graciously agreed to call us at 9:10 a.m. after the news headlines. And we'll continue this conversation. We'll include you in the discussion. We're talking about the U.S. congressional race now underway in the 12th District. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, WKOK News Time, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. In about 4 minutes, we're going to hear from Mr. Billy Allred, who was one of the Republican conferees at that weekend conference to select Fred Keller as the nominee in the 12th U.S. Congressional District. So we'll be talking to him shortly. And we will have open phones throughout the remainder of this hour. On the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. On the Mark's sponsor invites you to visit their Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. I've done it many times. That's where they specialize in everything, all types of service on vehicles, cars, trucks, motorcycles, you name it. They can fix it, change oil, they'll pump you up with nitrogen, they'll wash the vehicle, do the body work, align the car, make sure it's ready to go. They'll inspect it, of course. A state inspection station in the Quick Lane is just super available Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Maybe you need some new tires. You're tired of slip sliding around, and this is kind of a snowy on and off thing. And we're not done with snow. No, says Heather. That was the terriblest sentence I ever heard in an AccuWeather forecast. So she said that today. But the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury will put you into a car with four brand new tires, and they would just love to help you out. Doesn't matter what you need done to a vehicle or your vehicle shot, they'll line you up with a brand new one or a pre-owned vehicle that's in super fabulous condition. Whether it's a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or a Lincoln, they can take good care of you at the Sunbury Motor Company. SunburyMotors.com is the place to go. Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. Toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. We're going to dispense with news headlines. We'll do those those at 20 minutes after. You don't actually have to say okay into the microphone.
Okay. Well, you were tapping at me, and I wonder why.
Well, I want your attention because...
Billy Allred's on the phone.
We appreciate that. Billy Allred, Union Township Supervisor. It's not a campaign appearance, but a resourceful person could find his name on the May 21st primary as well in Union County. And he was one of the Republican conferees that was up in Williamsport on Saturday helping to select Fred Keller as our next U.S. congressional candidate and very potentially our next U.S. congressman from our area. Welcome aboard, Billy. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, you're welcome. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I do appreciate it. Well, let's start at the beginning. Just a 30 or 1 minute snapshot of what the layout is, that there's, 202 individuals like yourself who come from the various counties and are there to go through a process of coming up with a nominee.
Right, yeah. We went to Williamsport on Saturday, but really that wasn't the beginning of the process. The beginning of the process is when we applied to be conferees through our county Republican chairwoman on maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago and went through that process to be selected as conferees. And then throughout the last 2 or 3 weeks, we began to see the candidate list expand. It was up to as many as 34 candidates at one point. Going into the conference on Saturday, we knew of at least 19, and then for those who were actually able to be nominated and seconded, which is what you had to do in order to make a speech at the convention, there were 14 candidates. So it was really exciting all the way up. It was great to talk to candidates all across the congressional district. It's amazing the breadth of knowledge and discussion of the issues, and just some of the great people that live in our congressional district that were willing to serve. I think this process was different than a primary because the candidates didn't need to spend a bunch of money to get their name. They just simply needed to reach out to these conferees and find someone to nominate and second their nomination. And so because of that, you saw just a breadth of talent that and diversity that we never typically see in a primary election.
It wasn't without some drama, I understand. One of the front runners withdrew under rather unusual circumstances.
Yeah, you know, that threw everything into chaos, a bit of chaos. It didn't end in chaos, but it was certainly chaotic at the very beginning. And that's because Jeff Whelan, State Representative Jeff Whelan from Lycoming County, was sort of the favored son going in. Lycoming County had the most conferees, and they had committed to vote as a block for Jeff Whelan. And former Congressman Marino was backing Whelan as well. Now, that's contrary to media reports and his own mouth, but I can tell you that I received a robocall during that process from Congressman Marino supporting Jeff Whelan. So if you hear reports that Congressman Marino was out of this process, I'm here to tell you firsthand that's absolutely not true. He was very involved, not only beforehand, but he was involved all day on Saturday. He gave a speech at the beginning. He was canvassing with conferees throughout the day. And not only he, but some of his friends and campaign staff were doing the same thing, as was Glenn Thompson to G.T. Thompson, congressman in a neighboring district, was doing those same type of things for candidates. So, man, that's really unfortunate. I mean, I'm ecstatic that Fred was chosen as the nominee. I frankly am not sure that he would have been if some of these these events had not happened. I think that Marino would have had his way, and Whelan would have been the candidate. But
all right, well, are you going to tell us what was in this email that threw all this into chaos?
Sure. So the email was purportedly, you never can tell, but according to the email address and the signature and all of that, the email was from his stepson, and it was pretty graphically describing spousal and child abuse that Jeff Whelan had perpetrated upon his ex-wife and his stepson.
So without time to fully vet that and consider it, Jeff then chose to withdraw?
He did. And there was also this idea spread around in the Comfrey process on Saturday that this was new news, that no one knew about this, no one saw this coming. But that's actually not true either, because I spoke with Jeff Whelan personally about that 2 weeks ago because I had heard it. It was being spread around. And I spoke with Jeff on the phone. I gave him the details of what I had heard. He said it's absolutely not true and that he was going to be providing a letter from his ex-wife stating that it was not true, proving that it was not true. But that letter never came. And I think, personally, I'm glad that that came up on Saturday morning or Friday night rather than Monday morning, today. Because I would have hated for us to nominate Jeff Whelan and then have these things come out and the Democrats use them in this campaign and us end up with the Democratic representative in Congress.
How did the balloting go? I mean, Fred was victorious on the fourth ballot, but how did it progress from ballots 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah, so after the 14 nominations, we had the 14 candidates there. We had mutually agreed as conferees on the rules that the top 10 would move on after the first round of ballots. And so we voted on candidates, and three candidates actually dropped off instead of four because the 10th and the 11th were tied. And one of those that dropped off, unfortunately, I think, was Joe Morales from Milton. I know many people in the area probably saw in the paper or elsewhere that he was running. And he was just an example of the diversity of the people that were involved in this process. So it was sad to see him go, but he did get a few votes, but just not enough to stay in the top 10. So then we had a second round of speeches. And in the second round of voting, I believe Doug McClinko was in the lead with 40 votes. Fred Keller had 37. And then Jessica Bowman Hosley from Clinton County had 27. And Maria Montero, who I actually seconded her nomination, she had 26. And so then all of the candidates below that had, including locally Malcolm Dirk and, you know, trying to think if there are other candidates that people in our listening area would be real familiar with. I know Malcolm would be. But all of the other candidates were below 20 votes, and so they didn't proceed to the next round. And then there was just a time of caucusing in between votes and on subsequent votes. Maria was dropped off. And in the final vote, I think most of Maria's votes went for Fred because she was first-generation American and really a constitutional candidate. And I think a lot of folks realized that Fred was close to her on a lot of those issues and principles. And so when she dropped, many of her votes went to Fred, and that pushed Fred over the threshold.
What was the final vote for Fred?
I think it was, I can't remember off the top of my head. I think
133?
It was like 109 or 113, and you needed 101, you know, 50%.
And that was to move. McClinko was the other person still in at that moment.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, McClinko was still second, and Hosley was still third on the final vote.
Let me ask you this. Lycoming County, you said, had agreed to vote as a block for their hometown boy. What happened after he dropped out? Did they stay with one candidate, or did they fragment?
They fragmented some. On their initial vote, many of them voted for Matt McDermott, who's the current county clerk in Lycoming County. And some of them, I think, went for Hosley and various folks. But Davis Hare, actually, from up in Wyoming County, he was pulling, you know, quite a number of votes from that northeast region as well. during the process, but of course didn't make the 20-vote threshold in the third vote.
All right. Well, let me revisit very briefly the Wieland topic again. If you knew about this weeks in advance, that means other people, you know, who are even closer to him would have known it far in advance. Why wasn't this brought up, vetted, talked about? You know, it could have been dispensed with when he announced his campaign. I mean, why wait till the Saturday of the conference to say, okay, we have this accusation of domestic abuse out there? All of the sudden, as a result, we're going to respond to it.
Well, I think the email probably had a lot to do with that, don't you?
Well, that may be a factor, but it's been bubbling in the background ever since. Yeah. And I'm just asking Billy, you know, do you have any idea why it took them so long to finally say, okay, this accusation's got to be addressed?
I don't know. Personally, my approach was to the issue. There's always a lot of rumors that go around about various candidates, and I don't believe them until I see facts to prove them. But I'm always willing to give the candidate the opportunity to speak to them, and I don't spread them around personally without giving the candidate an opportunity to answer those charges. So that's why I contacted Jeff Wieland myself to let him know that I had heard that and to hear his response. And when he assured me that they weren't true, it didn't go further than that. You know, I kept waiting for that letter that he promised from his ex-wife, basically disputing what was being said. And so I just assumed that it was being taken care of. So I guess in terms of how I personally dealt with it, that's why I didn't bring it up. In terms of why his campaign didn't, I don't have a clue. I would surmise that maybe they thought that Marino was going to squash it, or you know, the party forces up there were going to squash it. But I can tell you that you're right. It wasn't just me that knew about it.
Okay.
There are quite a few.
Well, with Doug McClinko, who was kind of a tough campaigner against Tom Marino in the primary, with him still out there, probably licking his wounds from having been defeated again, can the Republican Party unite behind Fred?
You know, I think so, and one of the reasons is because I see Fred as a uniter. I know that he can maybe, because of his tough stance on issues, sometimes maybe he rubs people the wrong way, but ultimately when you listen to his message, when you see what he does, when you see how he's willing to talk to everyone, he's willing to listen, you see how often he appears, for instance, on this radio station, in contrast to some of our other elected officials, I think that will unite the party. And I think it really is about issues and principles and not about who I supported in the past or who I was working for. And I see Fred as a uniter. I do think he's going to have to get out here in these other counties because the district is so broad, and get his name past just these conferees and into the average Republican household and CD12, but I think he can do that. He's proven here that he is just a desperately hard worker in campaigns and even afterward in elected office. So I fully assume that Fred's going to go far in this process and be our next congressman, and I'm looking forward to that.
Well, he actually reads the bills, Billy, yeah. So that makes him pretty unique right there.
Right.
If
Nancy will give him time to read, I'm pretty sure he'll read them.
Right. Well, and plus fiscally responsible, that's going to be a sad day in Washington once he gets there, because all they like to do is spend on both sides.
Right.
So and plus he'll actually want to address the immigration issue and, you know, come up with good solutions. So, all right. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much, Billy.
Can I say one more?
Yes,
sure.
Please. That's what I was just going to ask you to do.
Of an interesting thing that happened on Saturday, and that was when Marino made a speech at the beginning. He attacked the Club for Growth because they had done some political campaigning against Wieland's record, and he absolutely made a fool of himself. he said about the Club for Growth that they only give him a 40 rating, which shows just how conservative they're not. That he set himself up as the standard of conservatism. And the fact that they would only give him a 40 rating shows that they're liberal swamp. And the conferee next to me leaned over and said, I wonder what Senator Pat Toomey would say about that, because, of course, Pat Toomey has a 90-plus rating with the Club for Growth, as do, you know, many very conservative congressmen and senators. So it was sad that Marino was that involved in the process, especially when we were promised he wouldn't be. And that was the only black mark on the day, a day in which we saw great diversity of thought and great diversity of background and great diversity of ideas, you know, from all around this congressional district that just shows the strength of Pennsylvania.
You think he was hoping to keep his hand in the pie so he could pull the strings with his own personal puppet in the Congress?
Yes, so that's Tom's way.
I would agree with that.
Yep, absolutely. Him and the rest of those.
Well, then how did he, at the end of the day, just out of curiosity, what was his reaction at the end of the day?
Well, at the end of the day, you know, he was supporting Fred, and I think that was just basically anti-Doug sentiment on his part.
Yeah.
But I don't think Fred's going to have his strings pulled.
No, Moran Industries and Moran Inc., or whatever you want to call it, will have no attachment to Fred Keller, and that's wonderful news for everybody. Billy, thank you so much for the insights. We'll catch you again. Thanks for all your help all the time on the Mark. We very much appreciate it. He's one of our good volunteer co-hosts from time to time, and we appreciate the insights. We'll keep talking about this, and as the days and the weeks progress, you have more input and insights. Give us a buzz back. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, Billy.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks,
guys.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Billy Ed is Billy Allred, an elected Union Township supervisor, Republican committee person, and running for county commissioner. And he was one of the Republican conferees that served in Williamsport and gave us that fabulous behind-the-scenes look. That's kind of been talked about, rumored around here, but we didn't have sort of full timeline details on it, so we appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 is our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. Our next caller is standing by. We got one email on this topic. We'll take a quick break. We will be right back.
Hometown pharmacies, every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Our good computer's got a mind of his own today, I guarantee you that. So we appreciate that. But fabulous producer Rob Setter's over there on the other side of the glass. Matt Catrillo's over in the newsroom. Joe McGranahan is with me. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show on the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, and our toll-free line sponsored by the hometown pharmacies, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. In the news, the latest set of winter weather has moved out of the valley and the travel restrictions fled with it. The latest storm dumped 4 to 6 inches of snow around here. PennDOT, local, township, municipal, and Shamokin Dam crews have been out keeping all the roads and streets and roads clear. And there may be some secondary roads that could have some slush or need some plow back, but PennDOT says it was okay to lift their commercial vehicle ban and speed restrictions on Interstate 80 and 180. Most valley and surrounding school areas were on delayed openings today. Tri-Valley School District went to a closure today. You can check out everything at Winternet. Riverside's the dateline where firefighters had to go out into Rush Township, Northumberland County, to battle a fire this morning. Happened along Gravel Lane. A building was engulfed by the time the crews got there. The volunteers from Mahoning Township, Danville, Riverside, Elysburg, Stonington fire departments responded. No injuries reported there. Should we bail out the nuclear power industry? With nuclear power plants seeking a rescue in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania. A number of state lawmakers are signaling they are willing to help with conditions. Giving nuclear power plants what opponents call a bailout would mean a politically risky vote to hike electric bills. One key motivator for lawmakers could be attaching it to a package that steps up the fight against climate change by taxing carbon emissions or expanding subsidies for renewables. Labor-friendly lawmakers may insist on guarantees that nuclear power plants stay open and retain all workers. In the months ahead, several power plants in Pennsylvania, including Three Mile Island, will close. The mayor of Philadelphia has signed off on legislation that would force city stores to take cash, banning the so-called cashless store. The ordinance signed into law by the Democratic Mayor Jim Kenney Thursday will prohibit most retail locations from refusing to take cash or charging cash-paying customers a higher price. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports the law will take effect July 1st and exempt certain businesses like parking garages and wholesale club stores. A city spokesman said many poor consumers still do not have access to bank accounts in explaining why Kenney signed the bill into law. City officials previously said Amazon had told the city the legislation would impede plans for Amazon Go cashierless store. An Amazon spokesperson declined to comment on all of this.
That'd be fun to have a checkerless store where you press a button, the cash register opens, you put your money in. Mm-hmm. And guess what would happen? Somebody would take money out.
Well, I don't think that's how it works. There's no people there at all. No cash drawer. You just use your card. That's it.
No, but I mean, if they had to take cash.
Oh, if they have to. Well, you have little vending machines that take cash, like
at
the car washers
fun.
And things. Oh, no, they aren't fun. That's a good point. 1-800-795-9565. Bobby, thanks for being back in the area. You're welcome back. You're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, and I'm going to say working previously with Fred Keller, we couldn't have a better candidate for our district.
How did you work with Fred Keller? What's your experiences with him?
When Mr. Ely put together the, the regional office down in Shamokin Dam, and that's the very first time I got to know Fred Keller, and this is before he so he actually helped us out in the office and do campaigning for the party.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, very well. Yeah, well, we accept your congratulations. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate Bobby, our good visitor from Sunbury.
Here. Well, I am surprised if Tom Marino is in such good health that he can attend this meeting and do all this lobbying and make all these speeches. Why quit?
Well, I guess his health was, why kill yourself, I guess, would be that if your health is bugging you and your family needs you and you have offers from private industry, which he's never taken that off the table, and you're fairly certain your friend Jeff Whelan can get in and everybody's going to support him. It's too bad that Jeff has this accusation against him. I mean, if it's untrue, if it is true, I'm glad it came out in a timely fashion and we're starting to get that addressed. But it's just fabulous news that this idea of handpicking another party, ignoring the will of the constituents, fell apart. That's the good news. You know, we had a terrible congressman in Congressman Marino, and now we're going to have precisely, diametrically, the opposite. You have somebody who's a natural-born listener, reads laws, and does all of this.
You're assuming Fred gets elected, I assume.
Well, if he does, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm a little surprised. I will admit that Congressman Marino would show up and, as Billy said, made a fool of himself. You know, I guess that maybe that's open to some debate. Those people who support the congressman obviously probably would not think he made a fool of himself, but other people probably think he would have made a fool of himself. But in any event, I don't like the idea of the former congressman being there trying to pull the strings, although I saw Don Sherwood was in attendance, also a former congressman. I think it's going to be interesting going forward to see what impact all this has on Jeff Whelan should he choose to run again for the office he holds, or whether or not there will be some sort of a demand for an airing of this. How public was it? I understood the stepson's email went only to the conferees. But if a conferee should release it or it should become public knowledge, and Billy said, I think he used the description, it graphically detailed alleged abuse, mm-hmm. Spousal and child abuse from Representative Whelan, that could be an issue. You know, there are people howling for the Lieutenant Governor of Virginia to step down. Is it possible we'll hear something like that locally with respect to Representative Wieland?
Well, and you wonder how tight the connection is to the stepson. I mean, you and I might think of a stepson as somebody who is in the house every day and is with you, and you have lots of contact. But there's another aspect of the whole spectrum of contact that you might have with a stepchild, and that's that you don't see them often. They're not known, you know, fabulously well to you. You don't participate in active parenting, or did not participate in active parenting, so you can have... they're not removed per se, but they're not a daily part of your life, you know. So, you know, you just wonder how close is this individual, what his motives are in coming forward now. Maybe just making...
If it were a woman, would we be more charitable to him? You always say, believe the survivors. Is he not a survivor? He alleges he is.
Well, if it had been a female that stepped forward, I think we'd have to go through precisely the same vetting process.
But I think,
I think individuals may decide that they believe women over men sometimes, but it wouldn't change the vetting process of hearing them out and have Jeff come through with this letter from his ex that says, you know, this is not true, that we didn't have an abusive relationship. You know, I don't know why there's marriage. I didn't even know he was married the first time or that he's even married now, but... the fact is, if this is true, she can come forward and corroborate that, and I'm sure, you know, his constituents up there now are interested in hearing that.
Well, of course, he did take his name out of consideration here. That would seem to indicate that this story had some amount of credence that he was concerned about.
Well, or there wasn't time to vet it, you know, rather than get voted out, which I think probably could have happened, you know, in subsequent votes. Because they don't want to have to address this. You only have 2 months. You know, the time to properly hear this kind of thing out would probably be weeks.
But if I don't know how I guess the question I would have asked Billy was at what point did he pull his name? He could have had his name placed in nomination and then gotten up and said, listen, I understand this is going around. You got this letter. It's not true. But I don't want to be a distraction, so I'm going to step down. But I categorically deny the accusations contained in this email. That would be one way. If he pulled out before the conference, if in other words, the first thing that morning when they got there, the person who was going to put his name in nomination didn't do it, and the person who was going to second it didn't do it, and then the word got around that he wasn't going to seek the office, that's an entirely different scenario.
Well, yeah, we don't know. We'll contact Representative Wieland and ask him if he wishes to contact us. We'd love to hear from him.
Well, and one of our good listeners says Congressman Sherwood was a Wyoming County conferee. Well, that explains why Don was there.
Okay.
Well, I wonder, was Congressman Marino a conferee?
Ooh, I don't know. Good question.
Or just there. Why would he even be accorded an opportunity to speak?
Well, it was run by the state Republican Party. Maybe they thought he's a VIP of some sort, even though he's our sickly ex-congressman. They think he's a big deal. All right, we'll take another quickie break. But please call us now. We're talking about this whole process. And let's get all the way back around to where we started. Congratulations and good reactions to State House Member Fred Keller becoming the U.S. Congressional nominee. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Call us. 1-800-795-9565. If you can call us and you've been planning to wait a little bit later on, call us now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK live telephone talk show on the mark. Mike Bollig is on the line. He's from Sealands Grove, a tax collector, active Republican, and he was one of the conferees from Snyder County. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning to you.
All right, so you were a conferee. Who else was on the Snyder County group of conferees?
Well, there was 12 of them. I don't want to say all the names unless I have them all in front of me. I don't want to skip anybody.
Oh, 12. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it wasn't just two. Right. You had I'll just tell you,
I sat with Teresa Berger, a prothonotary who was on. I sat with next to Joe Kantz, who I run commissioner, and Pat Saylor, who's an icon in the Republican Party around here. She was right there near me. Lee Knepp was there. But there were some other ones, too. Stacey Zerbe was there. So and there was some alternates that showed up in case anyone didn't make it, but we all made it.
Good.
So it was, I just wanted to say, Billy Allred used to be my neighbor years ago. And he's a good guy. And I wanted to put a plug for him. He is running for a county commissioner in Union County, and I'm going to write him a letter of support. He's a good guy. He really is. And he did say how a lot of people were aware of the Jeff Whelan incident before the meetings even started, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't.
You had none. Okay.
So
nope.
Let me ask
and
you.
I'll tell you the truth. We were inundated with emails. I mean, 20 candidates were potentially still going for it the night before. And at least 18 of them sent 3, 4, 5, 6 emails just on Friday.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you this,
Mike.
This one
came. Well, I don't want to read the letter to you. I'm holding it to you.
Okay.
Without talking to this young man, I don't know if this is even from him, you know? So as far as I'm concerned, it's unsolicited slander. If that young man wanted to come forward and speak to us, we probably would have left him speak. But sending an email like this is just like throwing a rock through someone's window and running away. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, how did Mr. Whelan take his name out? Did he have his name put in nomination, seconded, and then he got up and said, I'm withdrawing?
Well, I got to remember, the meeting itself is not run by our district. They bring in some people from other districts to volunteer to help, and they brought in some people from the state Republican committee or higher-ups to come in and run it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting there, dummies, not knowing anything. Most of us there support Fred.
Mushrooms.
What's that?
Like mushrooms.
No, not complete mushrooms.
Yeah, okay.
No, not complete mushrooms. But to be honest, if you took the time, I have a briefcase, a flexible briefcase full of just the mailers that came to me from all the candidates. You were buried. Every day, postcards. And I spoke to Fred. I said, where are you going to get out advertised in this? And Fred said, no. She says, I think people will be buried. He didn't want to do that. So I didn't really agree with him, but maybe it was the wise thing to do because you didn't have time to read them.
Well,
you didn't have time to really absorb them. You read the first paragraph. You saw who it was from. And to be honest, this slam email that came out from the stepson, allegedly, it has Jeff Whelan's postcard on top, like an advertisement for him.
Hmm.
And I thought, well, it's just another Jeff Whelan thing. Okay, it's from his stepson. That's nice. Okay, and I moved on, you know. And it was later that I looked it up and I realized it was really a slam. Happened was Jeff Whelan, I get into another dog proof room here.
We'll feed him or something.
The old dog can't see. Barks at everything.
Okay.
Jeff Whelan, we were told when I was starting, we got some brief outlines, and then, like I said, we're going to have a word from Jeff Whelan, and we all looked at one another, and some people were grumbling, well, if I'm going to get to make a speech before we even start. And Jeff went up there with all his current and extended family, except evidently the stepson and ex-wife, and made a very passionate speech, and people were grumbling, well, if I'm going to make a speech, what's going on? And I said, you better be quiet and listen, something's up. And the last paragraph was, he's withdrawing his name from consideration of a nomination. And that was it. And everyone applauded him, and he walked out. It was over.
So he acknowledged the letter as the reason why he was stepping down?
It was too vindictive and too painful for his family.
Hmm.
And he said, if that's what's going to happen in the main election, he's done. And I believe he is a current county commissioner, not a state representative. I think he was a state representative and then became a county commissioner.
Okay.
He has a website that says he's a state representative.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, maybe that's just still up.
I looked it up, and I looked him up earlier. I was curious, and he does have a state.
See, there was three nominees from Wyoming.
Lycoming County, yeah.
Lycoming, thank you. Put it out for me.
What is
Lycoming
her name?
County.
Hosley and Wheeland and another one.
I want to say McIntosh, but it's Mac and something. It's Mac.
Okay. McClintock.
Yeah.
That
could be, yeah.
Okay.
It was three there. And when he left, we thought, well, this changes the dynamics of everything. I mean, this, whoa, what's going to happen now? We were a little shocked, to be quite honest. And when we did the verse voting, it was just going to knock out to the top 10. So we went from 14 got nominated, and then we went down to 10, and then went to 5 and 3, and then Fred won. And Fred placed first and second in the first one. They didn't give us the exact numbers, and he placed first in the next one until he won it.
Oh, fabulous.
So they didn't, give you the vote totals?
Not on the very first one. They just let them go in reverse order. The ones who got the lowest votes got to make the first speech.
Okay.
Because it was just the first round was basically, here they are who have their names in officially, who's going to get nominated in second, and there was 14 of them after that. And then there was a vote in that 14, and they let the lowest person go first, and Fred went next to last. We thought he was the second highest vote getter.
All right, Mike, what was your reaction to the fact that Tom Marino was there trying to orchestrate to make sure that his favored candidate made it through?
You know what? I put the Fred sticker right on my lapel, and I had his placard in my coat pocket, and I had a sticker right next to the voter, because I'm there to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone came up to talk to me, I tell them the 3 or 4 reasons why I was voting for Fred, and most of them walked away saying, okay. And they didn't even talk about their candy.
Okay.
And I went up to Marino, and I shook his hand, and I thanked him for being there. I didn't feel he was trying to influence me, because I think he looked at my eyes, and he saw my Fred literature on me, and there was going to be no discussion, you know?
Well, after his candidate pulled out, who did he support? Do you have any idea?
I didn't know he was supporting anyone before that, to be quite honest.
Oh.
And did you detect that he supported anyone afterward?
I got no
afterward?
Feedback that he was... Actually, I asked straight out. I said, isn't Marino endorsing anybody? They said, no, not officially.
That's not officially, okay.
Not officially, okay.
That's why, hey, listen, that's all I care. I don't listen to rumor mills. You know, I've been a victim of rumors. I know what that's like. You just brush that off and keep on walking.
There's rumors about Mike Bullock?
There was rumors about Mike Bullock when he ran for treasurer. Yes,
okay.
It's laughable.
Okay.
I was going to unionize the treasurer's office.
Why?
I have no idea why, because at the time there was a treasurer who's elected, a chief deputy treasurer who's management, and one clerk. And this was told to me the day of the election.
Well, they're going to have to do better
on
the rumors.
When I ran in 2011. Yep. And I lost. I mean, I got second place. There's no, you don't even get steak knives for second place. But it was okay. I didn't care. And Deb Kratzer won, and she's a good girl and good lady. And I don't think she had anything to do with it either. It's just someone didn't like me and wanted to spread some stuff about me.
You may have hit on something, Mike. Steak knives is a consolation prize in an election.
Well, at least for treasure, anyway.
Should get something.
Something of nominal value. All right.
I got a lot of attaboys on my back that I ran a clean campaign. That's all.
Good.
Is there anything else that happened that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, you know, I saw a lot of people there as guests and visitors, and I really thought the news should have been there in the conference room.
Oh,
there
reporters in
like,
the room.
Like a convention floor almost. Yeah. There were news people outside when it was over. And I didn't see anyone get turned away at the door. You just got an official sticker if you were a voter or not. So I don't know why the news wasn't present there, but I think you would have found it possibly one of the most politically exciting things in your life.
Oh, yeah. It's exciting to hear about it. Absolutely.
I was more attentive and excited than when I ran for treasurer or ran for anything. I was actually really thrilled that Fred was moving up the ranks because we really thought, we got to be there for Fred. He's done so much, and he has done so much for me. I got a special needs kid. I'm a local official. He gets me callbacks. I mean, this guy's it, you know?
You're right.
And, you know, to see him moving up, and we're always either tail end of one way or another. Either this district used to go south.
Went to the dogs. All right. Well, we have to scoot to stay on schedule, but thanks for being a great On the Mark listener, and thanks for your insights,
thanks,
too.
Yep, and I hope the people of Union County, the Republicans, get out and support Billy Allred, okay?
All right. We got you. Thank you
take
so
care,
much.
Take care.
Mike Bolig over in Seals Grove. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with some parting thoughts today.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. A couple of minutes left. We'll take speedy dialers or emailers. We did not necessarily foresee it, but we have talked about the 12th District U.S. Congressional nomination process. Mark Friedenberg, the Democrat, he is a professor at Penn State from Center County. He is the Democratic nominee, and that process is done. They've selected him. I don't think they had quite as an extensive process. But he's been selected. Cindy, thank you for calling in. You are on the mark.
Good morning. I really have mixed feelings about this. I feel like Representative Keller has done a wonderful job of representing his district. I don't live in it, unfortunately. And he has been accountable to the people. And I believe he's worked for the people in his district as in his service for Pennsylvania, not for the party. And I appreciated his accountability to the people in the district, that he was willing to come on the radio live and answer direct questions with direct answers. And I was really pleased to hear that he had gotten on to the pension board for the state. And now that's going to be lost to us when he moves down to D.C. And I feel like, while it's perhaps an improvement for him personally, I'm not sure it's going to be an improvement for his constituents.
Well, it's an upgrade of congressman, though. That's the upside for a bunch of other people, not you.
Well, he will be my congressman now.
Oh, okay, good.
If he's elected, he would be my congressman. But being, you know, just a simple math, one of 435 in D.C. versus one of 202 in Harrisburg. And clearly the party runs D.C., not the people. So, you know, he'll... Even if he speaks out by himself, it'd be like Ron Paul or his son Rand Paul, you know, marginalized by the powers who be. I think that's unfortunate.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cindy. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's the downside to this. You're losing a good state representative that hopefully whomever is, if he gets elected to Congress, hopefully whomever replaces him, probably a Republican, will recognize Fred's super service mindset, and we'll adopt that.
Keep it on.
We'll pick up where we left off, and we'll have new topics tomorrow as well. You're listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, 10 o'clock.